Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Acharei Mot Kiddushim. This week, Rabbi David Levenkreuz discusses Acharei Mot Kiddushim. Rabbi David Levenkreuz is a member of the Pardes faculty and also serves as the Pardes Director of Special Programs. And now, Rabbi David Levenkreuz.
Thank you, Larry. If I was to ask the average person, Jewish or not Jewish, to draw a picture of a Jew, I have a strong suspicion that most of them, in fact, I have more than a strong suspicion, I know this from studies that people have done, that what people would draw is a picture of a chassid, somebody with a black hat, peyot, side curls, a long beard. And again, as I said, studies have shown this fascinatingly, even very secular people, that's what they will draw as a picture of a Jew. And it'll often be a man, not a woman. It'll be somebody ultra-Orthodox. Even in a movie, if they want to somehow represent a Jew, they will put in a chassid to make it absolutely clear. And of course, the classic scene from Annie Hall, in which Woody Allen sees himself through the eyes of his potential, of his girlfriend's parents, as a chassid, is very, very ingrained in the culture of people of a certain age. What I'd like to do today is look at the issue of shaving, of beards. In fact, I've entitled this class a hair-raising class, or perhaps we'd call it a close shave. What we're going to do today is we're going to look at the halakha, the law of shaving with an electric shaver. What is the permissibility of shaving with an electric shaver? And what this tells us about the halachic system and contemporary Jewish life, because my claim is, by looking at this halachic issue, we can learn a lot about how halacha as a system works, how it changes, how it doesn't change, how it responds to what's going on outside it, how it doesn't respond, and also about contemporary Jewish life, how we see ourselves, how others see us, how we want to see ourselves, how we want others to see us. All of this can be understood by looking at a comparatively technical issue of the prohibition against shaving. So let's start, let's learn. There's a source sheet for some of you who have it in front of you. Let's go. In Vayikra 19:27, which is in this week's parasha of Kedoshim, we have the basic prohibition against shaving. Lo takfu pe'at roshchem. You should not round the corners of your head, v'lo tashchit et pe'at zikanecha, and you should not destroy the side growth of your hair. And what we need to look, pay attention to over here, is the word tashchit, which means to destroy. Not the word, the word to shave is not used, but the word to destroy is used, and this will become important to us later. But whatever it is, on first blush, this looks like an explicit prohibition against shaving and also marring the corners of one's beard. The question is why? And of course, whenever one asks why about something in the Torah, it's unless the Torah actually gives the reason, it's usually speculative. We don't know. And when we come to speculation, we also have two different kinds of speculations. We have speculations that are part of the tradition that are in the Talmud or in the medieval scholars. And we also have more modern speculations, sociological understandings, anthropological understandings, historical understandings, which might come out of the university halls rather than the yeshiva benches. So there are biblical scholars who say that shaving was a mourning custom, that it was a custom of people who were in mourning. This is the exact opposite of what we do nowadays, where shaving is seen, not shaving is a sign of mourning, whether it be after a personal death or whether it be towards Tisha B'Av or during the Omer. These are all seen as not shaving as a sign of mourning, but that some biblical scholars say that it was an ancient mourning custom. And if, and to prove this, they use Micha 1:16, which is in the second on your source sheet, shear off your hair and make yourself bald, for the children you once delighted in, Make yourself as bold as a vulture, for they have been banished from you. Here God instructs the Israelites to shave their head as an act of mourning, and offering hair to the dead was performed in the belief that it would obtain protection in Sheol, in this murky place. So one reason is perhaps that shaving was an ancient mourning custom. A second reason is to distinguish the appearance of Israelites from that of the surrounding nations. The famous pasuk to deal with that is in Vayikra 20:23. You should not follow the precepts of the nations. Asher ani meshaleach mipnechem, who I send before you. Ki et kol ela asuv aketz bam, for it is because they did these things that I abhor them. These are bad people, and we need to reduce the influence of foreign religions. In fact, the Hittites and the Elamites were clean shaven. The Sumerians frequently went without a beard. So people at the time that these psukim were being written and being promulgated, in fact, did shave. Fascinating, the Chatam Sofer, a 20th century halachist, traces the present-day custom of being clean-shaven back to the 11th century, where there was a Polish king who was incapable of growing a beard. And to make his deficiency less notable, he decreed that all his subjects should remove their beards. And in fact, many non-Jewish people followed suit, and often what Gentiles do, Jews do. I think there's even a Yiddish saying like that, you know, which says, as the non-Jews go, the Jews go. And later on, many Jews removed their beards to protect themselves from the Crusaders. But prior to this Polish king, according to the Chatam Sofer, Jews and Gentiles alike grew beards. And this disappeared in the non-Jewish world, but remained in the Jewish world. And we have a number of things like the separate seating in shul is another example, that in the ancient church, a not so ancient church, men and women would sit separately, and this disappeared in the ancient church, but continued amongst the Jews. So we have two reasons why we may not shave: because it's a mourning custom, because it's making us like non-Jews. The Rambam expands this previous idea and says that the Torah prohibits a man from destroying his beard because that was the custom of Gentile priests, says the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, the guide of the perplexed. It is prohibited to round the corners of the head and to mar the corners of the beard because it was the custom of idolatrous priests. Mekevan shezot of Natan, this is the fashion, shel komorei avodah zarah, because of the religious functionaries of idol worship. He says that the Torah forbids the removal of one's hair in juxtaposition with all the mitzvot that are forbidden because of chukat akum. And in fact, it's fascinating that the Yiddish term for priests, when people talk about a priest, is a galach. And a galach means a shaved one. And this was the visible characteristic of a Gentile priest. We'll see this a little bit later on when discuss the halachic aspects of it. But even if the reasons no longer apply, that does not necessarily mean that we do away with the halacha, even though the reason no longer applies. So three reasons so far: mourning custom, chukat agoy, aping of Gentile priests. Finally, we have another example. This comes from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, who connects it to the biblical regulation against males resembling a female. Lo yekli gever al isha, velo yilbash gever simlat isha. A woman must not put on man's apparel, nor shall a man wear woman's clothing, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that this is a way of distinguishing between men and women. Some Rishonim even say that the beard was created to distinguish a man from a woman. So it would be absolutely clear. I mean, even today, sometimes one might not be sure if a person is a man or a woman. And, you know, if they have a beard, that gets rid of all of that clarity. And again, when we look at the sociology, this will become very, very interesting of, are we trying to make men and women more similar or to emphasize the differences between them? Gentile custom, mourning custom, woman custom. These are the reasons we've seen so far. In addition, the sages viewed the beard as being an important part of the man's body. The Zohar says that the beard is holy. The Arizal, the great mystic, says it's a cheftza shel kedusha, and that all different symbols and signs are represented by a beard. So here we have a collection of reasons why we may not shave, but ultimately the question becomes a halachic one. What does the Jewish law say about shaving, let's say, with an electric shaver, which is not the same as a blade in terms of how well it shaves and in terms of how it shaves? It's different both in result as well as in process. So, the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya says whether one shaved one's peyot only, one side curls or one sideburns, or the entire face, including the peyot, one is liable if it is done with a razor. In Hebrew, Einu chayav ela beta'ar. One is only prohibited from shaving one's beard if it is done with a razor. And we need to then ask, what is a razor and why might an electric shaver be allowed or not allowed? So in order to understand it, let's look at Vayikra. This is over the page in the source sheet. Let's look at Vayikra 21:5. We're talking about a priest. It says, Lo yakarchu karcha. You can't smooth your head. You can't have a karachat. You can't have a smooth head. Berosham. Ufe'at zekanam. And the sides of their beard, Lo yigalechu. They should not shave. Not the same word, yashchit, that we had previously, but the word yigalchu. Ubisarom. Lo yisratim. And you're not allowed to make gashes in your flesh. So we now have a regular man who is not allowed to mashchet his beard, and a priest who is not allowed to megaleach his beard. And in Makot 21a in the Gemara, these are brought together and they're seen as being connected. And what the Makot understands is that only if something does both of them, if it is both mashchit and megaleach, only then is it prohibited. Our rabbis taught neither, and this is about a regular person, neither shall they shave the corners of their beard. You shall not, this is talking about the priests. One might suppose that he is liable even if he removed it with the scissors. We are therefore told, neither shall you destroy. It is permissible to use a scissor, because only if you destroy the beard completely is it prohibited, and a scissor does not destroy the beard completely. And similarly, if we only had lo tashchit, if we only had you shall not destroy, we may think we are liable even if the hair was picked off with tweezers or with pincers. I'm wincing at the thought of doing it, but even if you pulled out your hair one by one, we might think that is prohibited. But therefore it says, lo tegaleach, you shall not shave, to show that it has to be shaving. It has to be the act of putting a blade of some kind on the skin and pulling something out. And men did do this in pre-electric shaving times, rather like some people remove hair from different parts of their body through waxing. This was done, that people would put wax on their beards and pull it off. So they say, no, this does not count as shaving. This is not shaving, and it's permissible. Only if it both destroys and shaves is it prohibited. And what is that? That is with a ta'ar, which would be a knife against one's skin. I don't know if anybody's ever had that, but it's seen it in movies sometimes. Or what we would call, you know, like a blade that one shaves with, like a regular shaver nowadays. Only if it fits into that category is it prohibited. So what is permitted is pulling something out or using a scissor. It says in the Gemara in black and white that a scissor may be used. The scissors do not destroy the beard. They do not achieve destruction. They use two blades, which puts the hair in between them, rather than actually getting to the root of it and destroy them. And based upon this, some modern religious commentators, such as Harav Moshe Feinstein and Harav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, have permitted the use of electric shavers to remain clean shaven, because electric shavers work like scissors. And as we said, they cut by trapping the hair between the blades and a metal grating. Shavers have a separation, a very thin screen, between the blade and the skin, and as a result, do not completely obliterate the hair at skin level, but always have a small stubble. True confessions now, before I was observant, I did shave with a blade, and I have to attest to the fact that there's just no comparison. Even the best electric shaver, and I've spent many, many years buying very, very expensive electric shavers in the hope of getting that nice, smooth shave. And it is really true what they say. It leaves a stubble however hard you try. I have found, however hard you try, however, one never gets to that same smooth skin. But from a halakhi viewpoint, that's actually a good thing, because it would, if one who wants to shave, that is, because that would permit an electric shaver. And based upon this, Rav Moshe allows one to shave, because a shaver is really working like a scissors. In addition, says Rav Moshe, if a regular non-Jewish person wants to shave, and wants a clean shave, and they want the cleanest shave possible, they will use a plain, regular blade. People who use electric shavers usually use it for convenience sake, or because they prefer it. So, in other words, says Rav Moshe, whether one looks at the result, which is that stubble is left, or whether one looks at the intent, which is also important in the halakhic understanding, the intent, which is that only a blade will be used to get a complete shave, he says it is permissible to use an electric shaver. Were this to change, and were it to be that people were to use electric shavers, because that gives you the best shave, then that would change the halakha. In terms of kli gever, in terms of the idea that shaving is prohibited because it is a man dressing like a woman, many poskim maintain that a man who removes his facial hair does not violate this prohibition, since this is an action that is very common amongst men and women, is not prohibited. In terms of walking in their ways, ubechukotayim lo telechu, the Chatam Sofer claims that one does not violate this additional prohibition nowadays, because shaving has become common practice amongst all people. It no longer serves as a distinction between Jews and non-Jews. This is according to the Chatam Sofer. And it's fascinating. I read people said not to deviate from the Mesorah, from tradition, which I thought was going to say, you know, Jews have beards. That's how you think of Jews. Look at what I wrote. But in fact, some commentators say the different opposite. And they say that it's become common for Jewish men to remove their beards, and therefore we should not go against tradition. Again, a fascinating idea about what tradition can be. Tradition can be that Jews shave, or tradition can be not, how Jews don't shave. Very, very interesting how tradition is something that is constructed. It's not just something that is given to us. Peter Berger, the famous sociologist, says that the moment one says the word traditional, it's no longer traditional. The moment that I say, feel the need to justify something as traditional, means that I'm open to other ideas and I've made a choice to go in this direction. Therefore, ipso facto, it's a modern idea. I've made a choice rather than tradition that just came down to me, even if I choose the traditional choice. So again, as you can see, this issue is fascinating from a sociological viewpoint, but we will look more about that at the end. So we have these poskim who say that it is permissible to shave because an electric shave is not used with the intent of getting a complete shave, and because it does not do this. Not surprisingly, there are people who disagree with that. And let's have a little look at them nowadays. While the Shulchan Aruch does state, One is only prohibited from shaving one's beard with a razor, but scissors are permitted even if they are similar to a razor. Afilu ka'ein ta'ar, which would certainly permit an electric shaver. The Rama on this, the Ashkenazi commentator on this, says one should be careful when cutting with a scissor that uses the upper part of the blade and not the lower. Using the lower will make it like a razor. So we see maybe a scissor is not so ay. In Shulchan Aruch and Yorodea, it says there are those who forbid a scissor which is similar to a razor, and we should take those opinions into account. That certainly could go in the direction of prohibiting a electric shaver. And then finally, the Shulchan Aruch says in 181.11, there are five sides of the beard, and many opinions as to what those five are. This is a different issue. Therefore, one who fears heaven will take all opinions into account and not pass a razor over their beard at all, not even beneath the throat. And this is where the strong custom comes for some observant men not to ever have a razor touch their face at all. The Rav Avram Yeshayahu Karelitz, Rav Yaakov Yisrael Kanevsky, said electric razors work in the manner of primitive razors and consequently prohibit their use. Others say that the prohibition of destroying facial hair is violated even if the hair is not cut off completely at skin level. As long as it's close to the skin, it's an issur, it's a violation. And that any hair that is cut so short that it cannot be lifted slightly but by placing one's fingernail underneath it, kritzat tzipornaim, is considered destroyed even though it has not been cut off completely at skin level. I have to say that while on a pure reactive level, this does seem to make sense. You know, one shaves with an electric shaver. It looks, smells, tastes, feels like shaving. Now, often, halachically, this is not the case. We know that you can have two things that look exactly the same. The one can be prohibited and the one can be permitted. But there is a certain visceral idea that this, and many, many people, when they hear this, they think, is the halacha just trying to be clever? Is this just like cleverness? Is this just trying to find a loophole in the law? The Chofetz Chaim, discussing the new mechanical clippers of his time, says they function like a razor and remove the hair entirely to the extent that nothing remains. It would seem that one who shaves his beard with them violates the prohibition. And some Rishonim say that the Gemara implies that anything normally used for shaving and destroying the hair is prohibited. And on the basis of this, many, including the Chafetz Chaim, prohibit us from using mechanical clippers, even though they leave stubble. So here we have two opinions. An opinion which says that in order for it to be prohibited, it needs to have the intent and the result of giving a close shave, and an electric shaver does not do this. Another opinion that says if effectively what it's doing is shaving, then it is prohibited. This all came to, so what does this have to say about the halachic system? Well, in an interesting case in 1720, there was a mild confrontation between a group of Italian Jews who had migrated to Salonika in the Ottoman Empire and the local Jewish population. The local Italians didn't wear beards, but the immigrant Italians didn't wear beards, but the local population said that beards should be worn. And the famous Yavetz, Rav Yaakov Emden, said that the Jewish population in Western Europe had objected to these regulations so much that it had become impractical to enforce them. So here we see the idea of a new tradition, which I mentioned earlier, being created. Secondly, we have the interesting idea that I asked about earlier, that even if a reason disappeared, we still do it. So we see here, on the one hand, a creation of new traditions, which is halachic creativity. On the other hand, a very strong conservatism in the system. Even if a reason disappears, we continue doing it. There's still wisdom in continuing a second day. Chagim is something like that. Even if the reason disappears, there's still wisdom in that new innovation, and we continue with that innovation because of the wisdom it brings. Fascinatingly, if one defines tradition as what Jews have always done, And let's face it, the fact of the matter is that for the bulk of Jewish history, the bulk of Jewish men have had beards. It's fascinating because here is an example of where halakha goes in the different direction of tradition. If we were Tevyon, fiddle on the roof, and everything was tradition, we would go with having a beard. That's what a Jew looks like. That's what people draw as a beard. On the other hand, if we go completely halachically and go according to the opinion that an electric shave is permitted, the halacha goes in the opposite, in a way, of what the tradition does. And we have this very, very often. They're all different things where this is what Jews have traditionally done. But on the other hand, the halacha does not gain it. I think even of Pesach foods, if one is having a vegetarian seder for karpas, one could dip a strawberry into cream. There's no problem with doing that. But it somehow doesn't feel traditional like lettuce. They're all different things. They're all different at times where the halakha would go one way. There's some people who say that, I'm thinking just of Pesach because we've just had it, there's some people who say that machine matzah is preferable to hand-baked matzah because there actually is less chance of something going wrong. The machines are more mechanized, and yet somehow handmade matzah, the round one, that's what they had from Egypt. They didn't have square matzah with little holes pricked into it by a machine. These are all examples of where the halakha might take you in one way. Women learning Torah is another example. Traditionally, women didn't learn. That's what it was, or they didn't learn intensively. This is examples of where halakha seems to take one in a different direction to tradition. So I think three fascinating issues are brought up from a halachic viewpoint. The idea of even if a reason disappears, we can still continue doing something. The whole idea of what is tradition and how do we construct it, and the idea that sometimes halakha and tradition may go in different directions. But sociologically, I think it's even more interesting. From the early Middle Ages, many, many Jews followed the fashions of each nation, and especially in Germany, France, Italy, the whole Western Europe, Jews removed their beards with the aid of pumice stones and chemical dilapidaries, because that's what people did around them. On the other hand, in Islamic countries, people would grow their beards long. To this day, there are many, many observant Jews, Jewish men, usually Orthodox, who prefer to grow beards for a variety of religious, social, and cultural reasons, even if they believe that electric shavers would be permitted. Sometimes it's mystical. Sometimes it's the separation between men and women. Sometimes it's just because that's what a Jew looks like. And in fact, I think it's a very interesting thing. I can't go into the psychology of everybody, but I would say that Jewish men, and I apologize if I've used Jews occasionally when I mean Jewish men. It's something I try to be sensitive about, not because of being nervous about hurting other people's feelings, but because I think it's the right thing to do and the right way to speak. I'd say that Jews who are clean-shaven tend to want to be more like other people. They're less worried about chukat ha-goy. It could also be that they're not so uptight about separations between men and women and don't mind the fact that shaving might make one look more like a woman. Non-shaven people might want, and again, I can't go into the psychology of everybody who does it, might want to be as different from others as possible. Of course, this is not black and white. Many, many non-Jewish people don't shave. Beards are very, very fashionable. I know it's very, very hipster trend to have beards. So, you know, there might be an observant Jew who has a beard and it's got nothing to do with being different or similar. It's just what they prefer to do. In terms of construction of gender, and I think it's so much fascinating to be said, on the one hand, a beard is a sign of masculinity in a traditional understanding. On the other hand, it's very, very different from a sign of masculinity, like sportiness or being muscular and things like that. It is much, much more to do with, and in a traditional Jewish understanding, it's much, much, masculinity is more expressed in one's learning of Torah and one's keeping of mitzvot. So it's very, very, which is often seen as something more feminine by Western society, learning, being more inward. So it's a fascinating mixture of things going on. From a Western viewpoint, many Orthodox Jews behave in behavior that is stereotypically feminine. I'm not saying it really is. This is the way people relate to it. And the beard is almost there to protect and remind one of one's masculinity. As I've already intimated in this podcast, I love to shave. I feel it keeps me clean. It keeps me fresh. I like to go out looking what I perceive at any rate as being neater. But there's no two ways about it that I'm aware very, very strongly of this idea, this picture that people have of a Jew as somebody with a black hat and a black beard. I think Hasidut and Haredi Judaism are powerful exemplars of Jewish life, and there's a lot for all of us to learn, those of us who are Haredi or not Haredi, from that very, very passionate and powerful lifestyle. But I have to admit that I feel sad that for many, many people, how Jewish one is defined by how obscurantist one is, how different one is, how crazy one is. The crazier you are, the more Jewish you are. The more different you are from general society, the more Jewish you are. This is not surprising. As a minority, one tends to emphasize how one is different from others rather than how one is similar to other people. As in a world in which, within the Jewish world, many, many people, most Jewish people, are not traditionally observant, very, very often these markers become very, very important. But I do dream of a time when what people will think of as Jewish will not just be external markers, but our commitment to ethics, our caring for our community and other people, our commitment to Israel, our commitment to the good of the world. I wish that these would become the markers of Jewish life and not the physical ones that we see from the outside. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Levenkurs. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.